9-point lead to the Cavs. Curry outside, another three. His toss back iron, long, high rebound, plucked out of midair by James.
Now you got to get something easy here.
Loops it into front court to Kyrie Irving. Hesitates into the lane from behind. Iguodala jabs it free to Green, all the way up the floor, intended for Barbosa. Intercepted by Smith to Jefferson, drives and kicks to Kyrie, to the inline to LeBron. Between two defenders, he'll lay it in.
I got it. They need a timeout.
Warriors have been playing from behind from the beginning, when they scored just 11 points in the first quarter play, a season low. They shot 22% in the first quarter. James outside, tees a three, lets it fly, knocks it down. LeBron with 41 points, back-to-back 41s. Goes for his ritual and missed the foul shot. Ball batted by Richard Jefferson. He and Azeele fall to the floor. Wow. They both pop up. Curry nearly stole the ball from James. Curry's just foul out of the game. Curry throws his mouthpiece, and he's going off on Jason Phillips. And a technical foul now on Curry. Rush hits the second of two free throws after throwing an air ball on the first. And that will be it. The Cleveland Cavaliers have rallied, down 3-1. They win on the road in 5. They come back to win here in Cleveland, 115-101.
The last two fouls I had, I thought were... I didn't think I fouled either Kyrie or LeBron. That's just kind of my perception of the plays, and I had a reaction to it. You know, it's obviously frustrating fouling out in the fourth quarter of a clinching game and not being out there with my teammates. So it got the best of me, but I'll be all right for next game.
So we have a game 7, but it was rigged, really. And a tip of the cap to the USA. Let's do this. It's a Friday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
It's Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend. Friday. Getting down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend. Partying. Yeah. Partying. Yeah. Fun. Looking forward to the weekend.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Live Sports Bar on Main. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Friday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the master, back in studio keeping us on air out here at Live Sports Bar on Main Street, which is one of my favorite places on the planet. And he whose name we shall not speak is keeping us on air out here. If you want to get in today, 713-780-3776 is your number, 713-780-ESPN. Can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jong Snow with a zero, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it is a Friday, so no nonsense today. Let's have some fun. We are out here at Live Sports Bar.
Can we make this a mouthpiece-free zone?
Yes. No throwing your mouthpieces. No having your wives tweet stuff about the series being rigged. And we'll just stay away from that.
Athlete wife Twitter, easily my favorite subsection of Twitter. That's the best. When... I mean, your man's got a job where he's making multi-million dollars a year.
Yeah, if it's rigged, boy, you sure have benefited from it.
Yeah, and rather than just sit at home and lay around in your pools of money, you feel like you've got to be a little bit famous too, and get on Twitter and make your husband's life hard, because you know that's all it's doing. When she says stuff like that, you know, Steph and every other athlete whose wife has gotten a little too outspoken, they just want to say, babe, just shut up.
Yeah.
Delete your Twitter, please. For the love of God, delete your Twitter.
Now she's well on her way to becoming Miko Grimes.
She can't help it. Yep. She can't help it, and I love it. It's so great. But, man, that was a showing by the Cavs last night. And I remember before the series started, I said, I'll take the Cavs in 6. And then I was like, well... You know, as the series was going on, I was like, well, I was clearly wrong, you know. now I'm starting to think that if LeBron continues to play in God mode, which is what he's been playing in for the last two games, the Cavs can win that series. If LeBron plays anything like he played in Game 5 and 6, the Cavs are going to win. I don't care if that game is played at Steph Curry's backyard court. They will win if LeBron goes off for 40 again and just dominates the way he has the last two games. That is the Warriors seem to have no answer for this version of LeBron James. Now, why it took that version of LeBron James so long to show up, that's a different conversation. And I'm sure there's a lot of frustration with that. But that man, when he is on, he is the best. And Steph Curry is the MVP of the league, deservedly so. But to me, there is still no question who the best player in the NBA is. I don't care if Steph Curry's won four MVPs in a row. LeBron James is the best player in the NBA, and he showed it again last night.
I have a sneaking suspicion that it's easy to change your opinion at game to game, but I think we both kind of said the same thing. Wouldn't be shocked if the Cavs won, but then they'll get blown out in Game 7. I could still see that happening.
You think so?
I think there's no way that – I just don't know that LeBron can do another game where he scores 41 points, and that might not be enough anyway if he doesn't get some more help from some guys. In Oakland, he could score 41 and they may not win.
Well, here's what I do know. Guys that are very important to the Warriors defensively, Andrew Bogut, hurt. Andre Iguodala, hurt.
And that may be bad, too.
That's bad news for them. That guy's, and not only is he hurt, he's the kind of hurt where he thinks he needs to stay on the floor, even though he's clearly not nearly the player that he is when he's healthy. And it's hurting them, him being on the floor even. And that's a guy they need. That's a valuable piece to them. Harrison Barnes, I don't know what's happened to him, but he can't make a shot in this series.
Is this guy losing money right now?
Probably not. That's just because of the way the NBA is set up now. But he could
I'd have concerns about
he could
him a
not
bunch.
Be worse than what he's been. And then I think Steph and Clay, while they've played better the later half of this series, I think mentally you're starting to see some frustrations. And these guys, we've never seen them against the ropes. Since the Splash Brothers have been on this run for the last 2 years, and granted they were good before last season, but they weren't playing at this level. You've never seen them in a position where, I don't know if they can do it.
I'm going to disagree. I think you flash back 3 weeks when they're down 3-1 to the Thunder. I think people were saying a lot of the same things. I mean, they were going through some struggles there. So, I mean, they have had their backs to the wall before.
Well, they weren't throwing mouthpieces and walking off the floor before the game was over.
No, but they weren't playing very well either. And they were in a situation against a pretty good team that was making them look bad. And they came back and won 3 in a row. So, I'm not going to write them off. I thought they did show a lack of poise last night quite a bit. Thompson was better in the second half than he was in the first, but he did miss more free throws than you're used to seeing him miss.
Yep.
And I don't think it really – they got it to within 7 at one point, but it never felt to me like they were going to close any ground there. So.
And, again, people got on me on this about this on Twitter last night. Klay Thompson walking off the floor with 4 or 5 seconds left doesn't seem like a big deal to some people. Your team's still out there playing ball, bro. And when Randy Moss did that with 2 seconds left, walked off the field.
Remember Andre Johnson did it,
Andre
too.
Johnson. People killed these guys.
Yeah.
And I think it without question, shows that there's some sort of mental distress that these guys are not accustomed to. And it worries me for them for Game 7. At the least, with the way that they looked last night, with Steph Curry throwing mouthpieces and Klay Thompson walking off the court early, and not to mention the other things I mentioned, the injuries and the Harrison Barnes struggles, and Draymond didn't look – he looked like a guy last night. You thought he'd come back and be, you know, sort of the knight that saves the day for everyone.
Right.
And he was just a guy. So with everything that they're doing – and the way LeBron is playing, at a minimum, it's made Game 7 interesting. And make no mistake, this series has been bad. There has not been a competitive game in this series on either side. It's bad basketball, but now you're still compelled to watch Game 7, and that's a positive.
I would just like to see a competitive game that goes down to the wire. I don't think we will, because that hasn't been the case, as you mentioned. And it's funny to me. It almost seems like I'm watching hockey. Whoever scores the first goal is probably going to win the game.
Yeah.
Whoever gets off to the 11-2 start is probably going to go on and win the basketball game. It's pretty much been the case in every one of these games. It's whoever gets off to the fast start. And, yeah, that it's odd because I'm not used to seeing that. Because basketball, there's so many runs. There's so many opportunities for teams to get back in games. But in all of these, that really hasn't been the case. A team that's gotten ahead. And, I mean, you had some games that were close at halftime, but then whoever came out in the third quarter and established themselves in the first few minutes, it just never really got close after that.
No. And like I said, this is a team – you mentioned the Warriors or the Thunder series, and I guess they did face some adversity there. But for the most part, over the last 2 years, this team has they've been in front runner mode, and I think they're getting slapped in the face a little bit right now, and they definitely don't like it. Steve Kerr crying about officiating in the press game or in the press conference. I mean, these are things.
Talking about how all those fouls were terrible on Curry, and I don't know. I mean, there were some iffy ones, but boy, I saw him get away with a couple too. So I think it. Yeah, I think it evens out, and I think it's one of those things that, when they're at Oakland, they always get the calls. So
yeah, and I love how they coming back from 3-1, it's rigged, except when it's the Warriors coming back against the Thunder.
Then it
was just crazy. You know?
Yeah,
I mean,
then it was just a great comeback.
Yeah.
So
now this, I mean, again, for a series that has not had a single good game, I'm looking forward to Game 7. So here's the question now. Game 7 or Game of Thrones? What are you watching live?
Oh, Game of Thrones. It's not close.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, this is one of the ones I've been waiting for all year. I'll watch Game of Thrones, and I'll watch the end of the game, and then go back and if I need to, watch the rest of it. But if it's a 30-point game, I won't need to.
See, for me, my preference is to watch, if I've got a choice typically between sports and a TV show, I'd rather watch the sports live.
Yeah, because it's always easy to go watch a show.
Right. So I think I'll go with Game 7. But what I do know is I'm going to have to turn off social media. People will ruin it. And I'd love to live tweet the Game 7. I just can't do it because someone will ruin Game of Thrones for me, and then I'll have to kill them.
Yeah, there's no way I'm missing Game of Thrones for this. No offense. I mean, I'll watch the game at some point, Sunday night. But I'm not – I mean, that I've been waiting for this episode for all year long. So I'm not sure – there's a sporting event I would watch over this edition.
Really?
Of the films. Super Bowl, but that's not going to be on.
Right.
Really, any NFL game of meaning. But, you know, let's be honest, there's a huge difference between, well, all right, let's say UH is playing Oklahoma. I'm watching that over Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Big college football.
Game 7 of the NBA Finals?
It's not as big to me as those things are, as a good college football game as the NFL.
Wow.
And I think ratings-wise, that kind of bears out anyway.
Okay.
It'll be interesting to see what the numbers are. I'll be curious what the numbers were last night, because I don't know if the soccer took anything away from them. But I'd be curious to see that, and I'll be curious to see how much it is impacted on Sunday. I don't know that – I mean, I'm sure there's some crossover audience there, but I bet you won't see that big of a dip.
I mean, I was glad to see the U.S. won, but I got to be honest, I didn't watch a single second of soccer, not one second. So I don't know who scored. I don't know if it was like exciting or if there was a close game at the. I don't know.
Well,
I saw the final score.
Yeah, it was close.
But I did not. I don't even know what channel it was on. So I was.
Yeah, I was on one of those weird. I think it's the Fox one. I don't know.
I was locked into that game.
I had the basketball on the. I had the split screen going. I had the big screen on the basketball and the small screen on the soccer. And then I just whenever somebody scored, I flipped over to the soccer to see what happened. And then that was it. But it was a good game from what I could tell. But I don't pretend to be a soccer expert.
You don't have to pretend. You are.
No.
You are an expert.
No, you know what when I have a soccer question, I just ask Glenn Davis.
Say, that's the way to go.
Glenn, am I right about this? And usually he'll say no, or sometimes he'll say, oh yeah, absolutely. So 713-780-ESPN is your number. We are out here at Live Sports Bar. It's on Main, 417 Main, right across the street from the Preston Station if you're on the train. And as of 4 o'clock, tapping BBH for those of you who love the carbide
so
BBH.
Good.
Yeah, we were able to get one before, you know, it was actually available because we were lucky. But it is here. So if you come on out and you know what, Michael who runs a bar here does a great, great job. And he's the one that got us a BBH. So we're good to go. And there's also still that
Velvet Merkin on tap, too. So for those of you who like beers that are hard to get, those two are pretty good. All right, 713-780-ESPN. The other thing, and Dustin said, the best compromise is have the score in the bottom right of the screen while watching Game of Thrones. I will probably, the easier thing for me to do is have Game of Thrones on and just put the game on the computer.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's a basketball
I
game.
Just, I think
it's
going to
have
just
10 minutes of meaningful play. You know, I can follow it pretty easily.
For me, I think that both deserve my full attention. So I'm just going to...
You're way more into this series than I am. So.
If you shut off your social media, it doesn't matter what order you watch them in, really.
Yeah.
You know, that's the good thing. So But I do like to watch basketball live, so that's probably what I'll do.
Tommy says, if Cavs win Game 7, Warriors 73-9 in regular season, 15-9 in playoffs.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Well, but you know what? They win that game, and you know, won't be talking about any of that. I mean, it'll be, hey, you know what? They were the best team all year. They pulled it out when it counted.
This is a legacy-defining series, though, for LeBron.
I would agree.
I mean, if he loses this, it's going to be hard for him to ever win as many. Loses this year, it'll be hard for him to ever get that number back to 500
on
the NBA Finals.
I don't think if he loses, though, that it's going to change people's opinions of him, because people are going to say he chokes in the finals anyway.
Right.
And this isn't going to really add to that.
But beating this team of all teams?
And coming back from 3-1 and the 41-41, if he does all that, I think you're talking about that will be the legacy-changing moment. That will be the part where it's going to be hard for anybody to say, oh, this guy's not one of the all-time.
And in my opinion, win or lose, and I thought this last year and it didn't work out that way, win or lose, LeBron James is the MVP of the series. He's the best player on the floor, not even close.
He certainly has been, especially over the second half of the series when they've gotten back in it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN
97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Live Sports Bar on Main. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, 713-780-ESPN. All of my good friends showing up now, so this is going to be a fun night. We're out here at Live Sports Bar downtown and doing the show until 7 o'clock and then be heading upstairs and watching some Astros until 9. So come on out. So I love this. A stupid, non-interesting show over a Game 7 featuring LBJ and Curry. Man, Fred is whack. I'm sorry that you find it not interesting. To me, it is my favorite show on television, and there's only 15 of them left, and there's going to be a lot more NBA games over the course of my life. So, I don't, you know, there's a lot of people that think the NBA is not
interesting. That's why I asked. I wanted to get his opinion. Everyone's entitled to their opinion.
Yeah. I mean, that's my opinion. I will watch them both.
I'm not going to clown on you for it because I knew it was a discussion to be had. For me, I'm going to take the sporting event because sports are just better live. I mean, there's no debate about that.
There's no question. But it's also, it's a Game 7. To me, the most interesting part will still hopefully happen. I'll be able to watch them both live.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the plan. It's kind of how I did the hockey last week. I watched the very beginning. I watched Game of Thrones, and then I switched over and watched the end of it. Went back and watched the middle later, and that's what I'll do.
I can't wait. 10 years from now, I think we'll have the technology with DVR that you can watch a sporting event, whether it be football, baseball, basketball, and when there's a break in the action, like between plays or whatever, you can hit a button and it'll just go to the next actual game action. You won't have to sit through timeouts. Yeah. You won't have to see the walk-ups for batters, you know, and all that stupid crap. You'll just see action. And whoever invents that is the smartest man ever. He's basically the Thomas Edison of our time. But I need that to happen soon.
And the thing is, I'll be able to watch the game on my laptop, too, and I'll be able to keep track of both. So it won't, if something major happens, I'll just flip over.
Yeah, I mean, I have the setup where I can watch two TVs, but I just...
Well, it that's going to be distracting to try to watch both of those.
It's going to be impossible.
I mean, it'll be fine to have if I've got it on my laptop, it's like I said, I can look down and see what the score is and see if there's a run. But especially if there's a slow part, which I don't know if there's going to be a slow part in this because it looks like the whole thing's a battle scene. But,
yeah.
850 asks, how many more seasons of Game of Thrones do you foresee? Hard to sustain a storyline show like that more than 10 years. Well, HBO wanted 10 years of it. And the showrunners have basically said, no, we're doing two more.
And they're only, and it's really one broken up into two parts.
It is one more season broken up into two, which so essentially after Sunday, there's only 14 episodes left. So
that sucks. The final chunk is going to be six episodes?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem right.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know. I mean,
they better all be 3 hours long.
I'll have a better feel for what they can do with them after we see these next two.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really wish that – I wish I didn't have to make that choice.
You know? I wonder if you watched Game of Thrones in its entirety, you know, like if you binge-watch the whole thing when it's all said and done, if we'll think that they – went too long, or they could have done what they did in less seasons or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because in the moment, like week to week, we're like, oh, I can't wait for this week's episode. But then when you watch...
We've kind of had 3 weeks in a row where you didn't need a lot of those storylines.
And this isn't the first time in the history of the show that that's happened.
No, it's gone through this a couple times. And
so maybe they are right to be kind of winding it up.
Although, you know, again, I think... especially some of the ones where they just spend too much time on them. I think they could have condensed those. But, yeah, maybe they are running out of actual story. Maybe we are that close to the whole big thing at the end.
Yep.
And so that's why you're going to drag out Arya's story for two seasons when it could have easily been two episodes. 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in or you want to text the show. But why don't we... We'll give something away here. I've got a couple things. About the Whataburger giveaway. You want to do that?
Oh, I love that.
How about a $50 Whataburger prize pack? The one and only Chop House Cheddar Burger has returned to Whataburger. In celebration, we're giving away free Whataburgers. Win a $50 prize pack for a free Whataburger and get a Chop House Cheddar Burger today. Better be quick about it. It's only available for a limited time. Caller 15 at 713-780-3776. So, anyway.
Don't let that guy get you down, Fred.
I'm not okay
with you watching Thrones live.
You know what? I don't really give a rat's ass what people think. I mean, this is my, you know, it's my life, my choice.
And the reality is, you'll watch Game of Thrones, and then by the time you fast forward through commercials on the DVR NBA game, you'll be caught up.
Well, and I don't need to see the NBA game in order to know what's going on. If I miss something important, I can easily go back and look for it. I will just flip over and watch the end of it, and then go back and watch the game. So, you know, it's not that big a deal. But anyway, 713-780-3776. Somebody said, did you see Art finally settled? I did not see that. Did he?
Yeah, they got the settlement done.
Oh, okay. So there won't be any lawsuit then. Huh?
No, and it doesn't look like there – well, this is like the settlement of his release.
Ah.
I don't know
well,
what else
no,
be,
he had, but he had been talking about how he was being wrongfully terminated and all that crap.
Okay.
So. You know, we'll see. So you know what? For those of you who want all sports, we got sports coming up next segment. We got Chad Ford talk a little NBA draft. That's very sports.
NBA draft on the 23rd. What day of the week is that going to fall on? A Thursday? Okay, so next Thursday. I don't know how stoked I am exactly for the NBA draft. It's not like the NFL draft for me. And like last year's NBA draft, I remember being so excited about. This year's, I'm kind of like, eh. Because there's not a lot of guys that I'm super crazy about. I mean, you know I love Chris Dunn. I think Chris Dunn's a day one, an elite defender at the one. I've got my concerns about Simmons.
You don't really like him that much.
And, I'm not crazy about him
and
now.
And that's the number one overall pick. That I think that's going to affect how you look at it. I'm interested in it. I'm more excited about the hockey draft because my Leafs have the number one pick. And they're going to get a really good player, but... I'm more interested after we talk to Chad Ford.
And the Rockets don't have a pick, which also
– Well, yeah, that's the other thing. Although, I mean, if they did, it would be 13 or 14, and they'd pick another guy who can't play. So
maybe, but at least they'd have a pick, and we'd have something to talk about.
Yeah, and we could say, maybe they got it right, maybe they didn't. And then a year from now, I'd be like, hey, remember when they drafted that guy in the first round last year, and he spent the whole year in the D-League? And Or they traded him for somebody else who's not very good either. So – anyway, we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Chad Ford in just a second.
All right, I'm going to tell you about Dirt Free, guys. Most carpet cleaning companies, believe it or not, leave your floors in worse condition than they found them. Not the case with the guys at Dirt Free. The other guys will leave behind too much water, soapy residue, unhealthy chemicals. It'll trap dirt and allergens that can make you and your family sick. Call Dirt Free Carpet Cleaning. 281-DIRT-FREE. Go chemical-free. with dirt-free carpet. They've got powerful engines that create high-pressure steam made from their patented super water. Your carpets are fresh and deep cleaned without soap or unhealthy dirt-attracting chemicals. For over 30 years, they've been cleaning upholstery, floors, oriental rugs, even your air ducts. They'll clean the inside of your car if that's what you want them to do. Call Dirt-Free Carpet right now, 281-DIRT-FREE. Tell them you heard about it right here on ESPN 97.5. They'll clean three rooms of carpet for just $99.95 and throw in a free speed dry to the first 25 callers. That's 281-DIRT-FREE, 281-347-8373 for Dirt-Free Carpet.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from Live Sports Bar on Main. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Joining us now on the program is a man who has dug into this NBA draft far more than you or I have, Fred, I must say. Chad Ford joins us on the program. Chad, how are you today?
Good. How are you?
Can't complain. The Ben Simmons, Brandon Ingram debate seems to have intensified. If you asked at the beginning of the college basketball season who was the number one pick, it was almost a certainty that it would be Ben Simmons. What has happened since then to make people think that maybe there's a reason why Brandon Ingram is the best player in this draft?
You know, I don't even know how much it's intensified, other than some people have tried to try to drive it. Talking to NBA teams, I think Simmons was number one wire to wire. I think two things happened. One, Brandon Ingram had a really great season at Duke. I think a little bit of a surprising season just because of his body type. I think people thought that he might struggle to adapt to the college basketball, being, you know, 190 pounds. And he had a great season, and that intrigues people because of the Kevin, Durant-esque sort of game that he has. And two, LSU wasn't very successful this year. They were losing basketball games. The body language that Ben Simmons showed sometimes on the court was frustrating. He looked frustrated, and questions started to arise about how competitive he was and how good he was with teammates. But I just always frame it this way. Had he gone to Duke, or had he gone to Kentucky, or had Ben Simmons gone to Kansas and played exactly the same way, we would have zero concerns about Ben Simmons right now. We would be talking about this guy hands down as the number one player in the draft. The problem was he played at LSU with four guys that are not NBA players that thought they were NBA players, and it just led to a really dysfunctional season.
One of the guys that I find most intriguing in this draft is Chris Dunn, who I think is far and away the best point guard in this draft. And then point guard seems to be more and more a priority position and a very thin position in the NBA. Where do you think the ceiling is for where Chris Dunn goes on the 23rd?
I think he goes as high as number three to the Celtics. I don't think he gets past the Kings at eight, though probably three, five, and six are the most likely landing points for Chris Dunn. And I think you're right, especially on one end. I think he's going to be elite defender in the NBA. I think that his athleticism, his length, the motor that he brings to the table, and he loves defense. I think that even really as a rookie, you're going to see him cause problems for people on the defensive end. And I think that's why scouts and coaches really like him. Offensively, the talent's there, but you know, the jump shot still needs work. His finishing at the basket still needs work. His turnovers are still a little bit high, especially for a 22-year-old. There's skills and talent there, but it's primarily that defensive ability that he brings to the table that I think is his appeal.
Denzel Valentine, who was the best player in college basketball this year, a lot of teams seem to think that he may have some sort of a knee issue. What do you know about that, and how far could it end up dropping him?
There are definitely some teams that have concerns, and they run the gamut from extreme concerns, like we won't draft him, to mild concerns in that we're going to, you know, all things being equal, if there's another guy we like equally, we'd probably take that other guy. But if he's our favorite player on the board, we're going to take him regardless. And, you know, he injured his knee and missed about four games his senior season at Michigan State. And I think that some of the concerns are related to that and things that they saw in the medicals in Chicago. I think it is affecting his draft stock a bit. Just talking to teams around the league, I think that given the parity in this draft, drafting a player that might have, and I think this is the key thing, right? Teams are trying to project here. He's obviously working out. His knees are good enough that he's able to go into workouts and play. So it's not like this guy's on crutches or in a wheelchair or something like that. It's just that teams are always trying to project, what are you going to be like in year one, year two, year three, year four? And if they see conditions that they think could be problems down the road, they get a little bit scared. These are huge investments that they're making in these players. You don't get to redo the investment. And because of that, I think they err on the side of caution. Danny Granger fell 15 spots in the draft. Maybe that's not accurate. Maybe like 10 spots in the draft because of a possible concern about his knee that never really materialized in his career. But there was enough there for them to be concerned. And so if Denzel Valentine falls in the 20s on draft night, you're going to know why. It was teams were scared that there might be something down the road with his knees.
Chad, is there a guy that's going to go in the top 10 that 3 years from now we're going to be saying, what the heck were they thinking? I mean, one guy that if you had to pick one, which one would it be?
Well, I think there's three, actually. One is Jaylen Brown out of Cal. He's an elite athlete. He has an NBA body. He looks like a 25-year-old out there, but didn't show much in the way of basketball skills at Cal last year. And people loved him in high school. He's worked out really well. I think he's going to go in the top seven this year. Could go as high as three. But he's going to have to figure out how to play basketball. And sometimes that just doesn't happen. Sometimes guys are just great athletes. And he could be a guy that could bust out a little bit. I worry a little bit about Marquise Chris as well. Same thing. Elite athlete. Crazy, crazy upside. Reminds me of a bigger Sean Marion in a certain way. But immature, both in basketball ways and just in regular maturity. He's an 18-year-old all the way, and he's going to have to learn some things to get there. And then Scott Labissiere, who just absolutely stunk up the court at Kentucky this year, but was projected as a top 2-3 pick in the draft before the season started. And because he's big, because he can shoot the basketball, because he can block shots at the rim, I think teams are still going to take him in the top 10, 12 picks in this draft and hope that for some reason that year at Kentucky that he was awful, that he's going to figure out how to play.
It's funny, I mean, Jaylen Brown, does Jaylen Brown, when you think of what he, the way he's looked at in this draft, does it remind you a little bit of Marvin Williams coming out of North Carolina?
Yeah, exactly. You know, all the physical tools, but does it click in his head a bit? And you know, you watched him, I think the seminal game for him was the Arizona game where at the end of the season where he picked up four offensive fouls in about 11 minutes. And he just was used to in high school using his physical abilities to just overwhelm his opponents. And that became harder in college and it becomes even harder in the pros where so many guys have elite physical abilities. And so now you've got to figure out how to play the game. And I'm not saying the tools aren't there because actually in high school he was a pretty good shooter and I actually think he's a very intelligent young man, but he just hasn't had to do that in the past, and so their learning curve is steeper for him.
Some of these teams, Denver, Phoenix, Boston, with multiple first-round picks, usually when there's teams that have several first-round picks, it usually means there's going to be a lot of foreign players that they can stash in the first round. Do you expect this to be a foreign-heavy first round?
I do. I think it's going to be as many as eight players being drafted in the first round that are international players. Dragan Bender, I think, will be a top six pick. I think Furkan Korkmaz out of Turkey, an 18-year-old shooting guard that really can stroke the basketball, is possibly a late lottery pick. And then as we get into the teens and 20s, they're going to take over the draft. And I think there's going to be a lot of guys, a lot of people at draft night scratching their head, like, who are these people and why are they in the draft? But I think it shows two things. One, we don't have a particularly strong college draft later in the draft. And two, actually, some of these international players, they're not just flyers. Like, some of these guys can really play. And some of them have been actually putting up pretty good numbers in Europe. And so they're not just workout wonders. They've actually been producing in Europe. And I actually think it's one of the strengths of the draft.
Do you expect any of those guys taken in the first round to be instant impact players for next season?
I think Dragan Bender could be. I think Korkmaz could be. And Ante Zizic is actually one of the best rebounders in Europe right now. He is built like a tank. He has a great motor. And, you know, some people just have a skill for rebounding the basketball. And this kid at 19 years old is leading his league in rebounding. And, you know, those sorts of things tend to translate the next level. And if he gets over here, I think he'll rebound from day one.
Who's the guy in the second round you expect to be a surprise?
You know, I think Chinua Onuwaku out of Louisville is a guy that probably slides into the second round because there was a heart anomaly that they figured out at the pre-draft camp. He had a procedure that should solve the problem. I think they're pretty confident that the problem's solved. But a guy that maybe is a little bit riskier, but, you know, he's got an NBA body. He's a great athlete. He is tough. He is physical. He rebounds. He's the sort of guy that goes in the second round, and he's only 19 years old, and 2 or 3 years from now, you're like, man, how did that guy get into the second round? He's unbelievable.
All right, that's Chad Ford. Appreciate you taking some time with us today, Chad, and enjoy the draft. I know we will. And thanks for coming on with us today.
All right, take care, guys.
All right, that's Chad Ford. We're going to take a quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. But first, I'm going to tell you how to sleep better and how to save money and how to get a great, great mattress and save a bunch of money and feel better about life. And that's because you're going to go to Texas Mattress Makers. And I'm telling you what, man, these guys are for real. They do business the old-fashioned way, honesty, being straightforward. And just like Yuval, the owner, they take great pride in building quality, handcrafted mattresses piece by piece, layer by layer. When you go to Texas Mattress Makers, they don't ask you what you want to spend. They ask you, how do you want to sleep? And it is such a great setup to go out there. And if you take time to check out the showroom specials, the one-of-the-kind innerspring mattresses, the care that goes into building these things, I mean, it is amazing. All made right there in the factory and sold directly to you. Sure, you could go to a retail store, spend a whole bunch of money. There's no reason to do that. You go to Texas Mattress Makers, how about this? The queen set starts at $245. If you go to a retail store, it's about $480. So you're saving that no matter what you do. And that's because they're selling it directly to you. Texas Mattress Makers is the best sleep at the best price guaranteed. I can't say enough good things about these guys and how they do business. And I am proud to do business with Texas Mattress Makers, and they take care of the Blitzers. And I love when I hear from people. I get Facebook messages all the time or Twitter. People tweet me and say, man, I went to Texas Mattress Makers. It was great. Go visit them today. 4619 Navigation at the corner of Lockwood and Navigation off I-10 East. Please tell them I sent you. They'll take care of you. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price. TexasMattressMakers.com.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Live Sports Bar on Main. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live at Live Sports Bar, downtown 407 Main Street.
Live,
this is a cool place. If you get a chance to come by, if you can't make it tonight, well, shame on you. But, speaking of shame. I deserve a shame bell for something I did today on the elevator.
Ding.
There was a guy who looked like a mini Hodor. I mean, looked just like him. It's me and him and one other guy. And, of course, when I'm about to get on the elevator and I see him, what do I say? I had to do it. It was so awful. I asked him to hold the door.
That is,
I know.
Shame.
It was brutal. And the guy, of course, didn't get it. The other guy, he's like, I got that. So I'm like, I'm glad somebody, it was so bad, it was so weak, I'm so ashamed of myself, I have to admit that I did that. By the way, the Astros take on the Reds tonight. We're starting the rally early at Live Sports Bar downtown. Join us for happy hours. We broadcast live, we are broadcasting live beginning at 4. Get you ready for the game, and if you don't have tickets, guess what, we're going to go upstairs, or maybe we'll stay down here, we'll just see how we feel, but we'll watch the game. And they've got a great outdoor bar upstairs.
I'm going to go up there during the next break and
check
it out.
Yeah, you guys need to check it out, because what they do, as soon as it gets dark enough, they've got a projector. They'll put the game on the wall of the building next to us.
Oh, nice.
And this is one of the few places in Houston that actually has an outdoor patio on a roof. So, and then downstairs is very cool. Some of the paintings they have here of Cushing and Watt and guys like that, just very cool, man. They did a great job with this bar. The food's terrific. And as we've been mentioning, they have BBH on tap. And
you think it'll last till 9?
Well, I don't know, man, because at least 5 or 6 of my friends are here drinking it. So
yeah, my guess is it's not going to last too long.
No, but there is another very good beer on tap. If it runs out, we'll tell people about. I don't know. I may want to save that one for us. I may not tell people about that. That would be terrible. So, Derrick Rose.
Apparently, this is the new thing in the NBA. Is you remember when, you know, it would be the team who announced, we're going to shop this player. We want to trade this guy. Now, apparently, when you want a guy, you just say, hey, we're going to try to trade for this guy. And the Knicks have apparently are looking to trade for Derrick Rose. I'll just go ahead and put it out there. This is the worst idea. If you're looking to trade for Derrick Rose, I'm almost sure the Bulls will make you happy. They'll find a way to make that get done. Because
well, it kind of sounds like the Bulls are ready to blow up the whole thing anyway. Thinking about moving Jimmy Butler. You move him, move Rose. Okay, Knicks, go ahead.
Yeah, you're welcome to him.
Is that the most Knick move ever?
It is.
The only thing better than that would be, I don't know, I'm not sure there is anything better than that. Trading for Chris Bosh, not knowing if he's ever going to play again.
In the last 4 years, Derrick Rose has played in exactly 50% of the Bulls games.
Well, that's better than I would have thought.
I mean, that's 4 years, though. He's missed two out of the last 4 years completely.
And, you know, if he gets a hangnail, he's out for 2 weeks.
And last year, he was playing. He was just bad. I mean, I don't see the appeal. I didn't really like Derrick Rose that much when he was healthy. Like, before Derrick Rose started hurting himself all the time, I was like, God, I think this dude's game is just overrated. Then he started being hurt all the time. I don't understand the appeal, but...
Well, there's always the hope that, okay, this is going to be the year he's healthy and he has the big year. But as somebody who, being in Houston for as long as we have, this is kind of like Tracy McGrady at the end, where, well, if he can just get healthy, which he really couldn't at the end of his career. How many times did we say that with Yao Ming? You know, boy, if Yao Ming can just
be
healthy.
If Yao Ming was healthy, yeah.
The difference is when Yao Ming was healthy, even at his worst, he was a damn good player.
Well, and he was a damn good player, particularly for the position that he played, which there weren't, because there weren't very many good players, even decent players.
But I mean,
even
when he was out there on one foot, he was producing a lot. Derrick Rose, when he's not 100%, he's not very good. I mean, when the few times he does try to get out there when he's hurt, he's just not a good player.
The problem is on this front is that the Knicks do not have very many trade chips. The Knicks have Melo and Porzingis, who are the base of the franchise.
Right.
They're not going anywhere, those two guys.
Nor should they.
The rest of their roster, Robin Lopez. Mm-hmm. Robin Lopez making $13-14 million a year. Okay.
At $3 or $4 million a year, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah. Aaron Aflalo in the last year of his deal. Jose Calderon in the last year of his deal.
More crickets.
How about Kyle O'Quinn? No, not doing it for you. No. Derek Williams in the last year of his deal.
No.
Jerian Grant.
No.
Well, that's it. Sorry. I mean, they've got draft picks.
Basically, yeah, you're going to have to trade draft picks and probably unprotected draft picks, I would think. And because I do think that while I'm kind of with you on the whole Derrick Rose thing, I still think there's enough value there for some team. If they are going to trade him, they're going to do better than anything you just mentioned there.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they're at least going to get a rotation-type player who gives them minutes. I don't really hear that in any of those guys. Am I wrong?
No, but the problem is if you move him, and you can't really move him and Jimmy Butler.
Not unless you're trying to Astro it, and you're just going to –
I feel like the Bulls
or Sixer it.
There's so much more of a respectable franchise than to do that. But maybe I'm wrong.
Well, to me, I don't know why you want to move on from Butler. Because I still think he's young enough where you pay him, maybe you do move Rose and try to get better pieces around him. But, you know, that team, once they change coaches and they've totally changed philosophies, that's not really a good mix with the players they have there. So, I don't know. I would not be – Derrick Rose wouldn't be the guy I'd build around. Now, I wouldn't have said that 3 years ago. I was higher on his game when he was good than you were. But it also is a game that – has not held up because he can't stay healthy.
Right. Well, and the Knicks don't have a first-round draft pick this year. So, I don't know. I don't know how the Knicks are going to get better at the point guard position, which is what Jeff Hornacek wants to do. I don't know how they're going to do that in this offseason because there's not a great point guard that's going to be available to them, and they don't have really the trade pieces to get a guy that they want. So that may be one of those things that you have to tell Hornacek, hey, long term, we'll work on that.
Yeah, we'll get you a guard. But
right now, we don't have one. This is what you got.
I think at some point they're going to have to – they'll probably have to get a second-tier guy to kind of bridge
the gap. Calderon is a second-tier guy.
I mean, you already got that, I guess.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
He's good enough to get you through there. And maybe Jerrion Grant turns into a player, but you're okay right now at that position. You're not great. You're not elite, which is what he wants. But, I mean, he should have known when coming into this situation, hey, your team's not that great in the backcourt. That's something that we're going to have to address eventually. But just know that this season, this is what you got.
Yeah, and you know, you can't fix everything, especially when you don't have – and see, the Rockets are kind of, to me, in the same boat.
They don't have a draft pick.
They don't have a draft pick. They don't really have a lot of assets. So making a lot of trades is probably out of the realm. You're going to have to try to sign some guys. You're probably going to have to overpay for somebody.
Harrison Barnes.
Well, there you go. I mean, that would be their kind of signing, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I like him. I know he's not playing well right now.
I like him too,
but
I don't
know what he's going to be when you get him away from that group.
That's exactly my point.
And I'm not quite going to put Spurs on that group yet, where I don't know how a guy's going to be when they leave the Spurs. But we need to see how guys actually perform when they leave Golden State, because they haven't had any do that yet out of this particular group. All right, I hear music. That means we're supposed to go to break. We have two more hours to go, and we are going to keep having fun. Live Sports Bar, 407 Main. If you're not here, you should be. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.